Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
Mike Tidwell in the Washington Post urged readers earlier this month to stop being green for the month of December, while the U.S. Senate struggles to pass climate change legislation and world leaders meet in Copenhagen to hammer out a new climate change treaty. He has a point. Tidwell says, quote, no more compact fluorescent light bulbs, no more green wedding planning, no more organic toothpicks for holiday hors d'oeuvres, unquote. He urges us to, quote, follow the example of Americans during past moral crises and work toward large-scale change. Don't take a day to caulk your windows. Instead, pick up a phone, open a laptop, or travel to a U.S. Senate office near you and turn the tables. What are the 10 green statutes you're working on to save the planet, Senator? Unquote. Well, it's common to say this. It's also true, apparently. What's at stake is nothing less than the future of our civilization. The 8 years since 2001 have been among the 10 hottest ever recorded. Ice provides a good record of trends in the climate, and it doesn't tell a pretty story. Arctic sea ice is shrinking rapidly, with 2009 levels down more than 25% below the average of the first two decades of measurements. The area covered by glaciers in the world has dropped by 50% since the end of the 19th century. Reduction in snowpack and glaciers are already causing droughts and crop failures in one of North America's most productive agricultural areas, the Central Valley of California. Rising global temperatures risk hitting tipping points that trigger runaway climate change that no international agreement could stop. A tipping point is an occurrence that drives further global warming regardless of human influence. The melting Arctic sea ice, for example, means less sunlight is reflected and more heat is absorbed during the summer, further melting sea ice. Widespread melting of the Arctic permafrost can release large amounts of methane, which is far more potent as a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. Passing a significant climate change tipping point would mean that humanity no longer controls its climate destiny, no matter how much we spend and how much political will we muster. Wait a minute, you might be asking. Isn't this the peak oil check-in? What's the connection between peak oil and climate change? I'd like to tell you not to worry. It's true that a growing number of people believe that there's much less recoverable oil in the ground than has been assumed in the models of the Nobel Prize-winning International Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. So total oil-related carbon dioxide emissions are likely to be less than the IPCC projects, even in their worst-case scenario. However, Arctic sea ice is also melting faster than the IPCC projected in their earlier models. They used to talk about the Arctic summer being ice-free by the end of the century. Now it could be in a decade or two. Coal is the biggest potential driver of human-caused climate change. Some peak oil experts, like Richard Heidenberg, are arguing that, as with oil, there's a lot less recoverable coal in the ground than many people believe. Still, peak coal may be decades out, and climate scientists like James Hansen of NASA say that the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere needs to be dropped from where it is now down to 350 parts per million. Use of coal must be phased out, not increased or even kept steady, to prevent runaway climate change. So there's no solace from peak oil or peak coal, no direct potential for them to kick in and help us hit emission targets. Unless oil shortages, in particular, help keep the world in recession. There's a glut of oil in the world right now, but that's not expected to last. The World Bank and the International Energy Agency expect that the world will not be able to meet all demand for oil without skyrocketing prices just around the corner in 2012 or so. Jumps in oil prices could put the economy into recession, just as they did last year. I don't know whether a prolonged recession would result in enough drop in CO2 emissions to start reducing what's in the atmosphere, but it's not really a good policy tool. Which would you prefer? Reducing emissions through a longer recession and unemployment? Or to invest now in creating green jobs that reduce our dependence on coal and oil? It's not a bad idea, as Tidwell says, to hang up your caulking gun for the month of December. Pick up the phone and ask your senators to pass a good climate change bill. And ask the White House to negotiate a strong climate change treaty in Denmark. I'm Carl Ettenayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.